In the studio from the Karioi Project, we've got Jasmine and Isabel together. Good morning.
Good morning.
Morena, Aaron.
Morning. So Crystal she's going overseas, isn't she? Going to see family now that she's allowed out of the country again.
Yeah, and also going for work purposes, actually.
Oh, really?
There's a Arosha conference.
Oh, right. So Arosha is like... it's not really an umbrella organisation for Karioi Project, is it?
Well, Karioi Project comes under Arosha.
Oh, it
so
does? Okay.
Yeah, we're kind of just a little sub-project of Arosha. And Arosha is international, hence the international conference.
Right, so she's doing double duty overseas. That's cool. So, actually, I didn't say we wanted to talk about this, but I always start off with my microphone stand won't stay still. I just have to hold on to it.
Do you always start off with the microphone stand moving?
No, that was really weird. People probably heard the squeak, actually. Anyway, the oi. What is the oi doing at this stage of the yearly cycle?
We can kind of answer that a little bit.
Yeah,
yeah.
We're not the oi pros, but we have a little bit of an idea. So recently, they've been coming in to mate.
Yeah.
And we actually went out a few weeks ago, one non-stormy night. Normally we go out on stormy nights. This was actually quite a calm, warm night, but we still managed to hear and see them flying around and swooping. And it was quite cool. It was my first time seeing it.
Stormy, do they come in when it's stormy? Or is that especially when they come in?
Yes, they love the stormy or the wind currents and the, you know, wildness.
Really?
They sort of, you know, glide and fly on those, so they particularly like that. And the new moon is usually when they
okay. You know, so while we're advising boaties and surfers not to go out in the storm, they're always like loving it.
Yeah.
Loving it.
Or maybe that's why they love it. There's no boaties out there.
Yes, it's all to them. So and so they are preparing for, are they doing any prep for, making them sound organized like a committee?
Well,
a committee. But for the breeding season will be coming up in spring. Well, no. Well, tell us. I don't know.
So my understanding is that they've just come in. Mostly they're kind of gone again, and they'll be coming back in a month or so to actually lay their eggs.
Right.
And
that last year, because quite a few were wiped out, this time they were coming in to get new partners, because usually they mate for life. But we lost quite a few adults, and so they'll be, you know, forming new relationships. And then also the young birds, the juveniles, they'll be back sort of finding partners as well. And they also do a lot of housekeeping. So Nick has been monitoring the burrows and seen lots of new activity. So basically housekeeping, feathers, guano, dusting the cobwebs. And
getting ready for the new season.
Yeah.
Cool. All right. So do we want to talk about volunteers? Because you guys are... there's several employees, but also a heck of a lot of volunteers. And did you guys both start off as volunteers?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Do you want to just quickly mention what you did and what you do now?
I'll start because mine's shorter than Jasmine. Jasmine's got a long list of...
Oh, okay.
I volunteered for maybe 2 years before starting on as an employee.
Yeah.
And I was just one of the... Pretty much what most volunteers would sign up for is... get allocated a trap line and then checking it on a regular basis.
And how often were you doing that?
I was quite keen, so I was doing it lots.
Yeah.
So I was doing it sometimes twice a week because there was also so many rats on the line I was doing, so I was getting massive catches every time.
Was it like a newer line?
No, but it was one that had been maybe a little bit neglected and quite close, not way up in the mountains, so quite close to houses and stuff.
Yeah.
So there's, you know.
Which one did you start on?
The Karioi Loop.
Oh, the Loop.
Yeah.
Oh, right.
Yeah.
Whale Bay.
But mostly it's every fortnight would be sufficient for most volunteer lines.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
And now you do?
Now I'm the Backyard Hub coordinator, so my role, I guess, is to get as many people trapping successfully.
Mm-hmm.
At home.
Okay, well, we'll talk about that in a moment. So, Jasmine, how did you also start off doing trapping lines?
Yes. Well, actually, originally my two sons were part of the Karioi Kids and Karioi Rangers program.
Yep.
So they went along to that, and then I met Bexie and Crystal and started to get more and more interested in what they were doing.
Yeah.
So I went out with Bexie and the kids, and we got a trap line in the Upper Wainui Bush Park. And then the kids sort of got older and into different things, and I kind of just kept on plugging on doing the trap line. And then, like Isabel, just kind of more and more. So I wanted to go up the mountain and do every mountain line, and got quite obsessed with it. And I thought, well, actually, I need to do a bit of a rethink of what I want to do. And now I'm, you know, employed and organising, coordinating the volunteers.
So you're paid for your obsession.
Yes, partly.
Do you still do trap lines?
I still do trap lines.
Yeah.
I still do one in the Upper Wainui Bush Park, and then I do a couple of the Maunga ones just because they're so spectacular.
Okay.
It's amazing.
So are you, when you say they're spectacular, are you talking about the view or just the
just
forest?
Every single part of it. The view is an added bonus, but the bush up there is just so varied and so amazing. And I think when you get down and you're looking at the traps, you often see just a whole different kind of world of like fungi and seedlings and flowers and even just the geology, all the different rocks and lava. It's pretty incredible up there.
So how many volunteers does Karioi Project have at the moment?
Well, our mailing list has about 120, and I'd say we probably have 80 very active volunteers. So they're out checking traps, you know, a fortnightly kind of basis.
Yeah.
You know, that's amazing, but lots of people volunteer to do different things as well.
So you don't have to be like super fit and clamber all over the mountain.
You don't have to be super fit and clamber over the mountain.
Although it could be a good way to get fit.
It's a great way to get fit, and quite a few people that say train for the Karioi Trail Run, they'll pick up a few lines kind of, you know, in the months before, because
the registrations for that just opened today, actually.
Oh, well, there you go.
Yeah, even though it's in December.
Well, that's a perfect opportunity for people to come and see us and get some more traps checked.
Do you have enough volunteers, or are you always looking for?
We're always looking. Like, as Isabel said, it's you know, we're hopeful that the traps get checked every 2 weeks. I mean, there's, you know, you could check them every day if you wanted, because if you go out and set your traps and then a rat gets caught that day and you don't check it for another 2 weeks, how many rats or stoats could you have caught in that 2 weeks?
Yeah.
So we are always looking for new volunteers. Lots of different lines, like kid-friendly ones, dog-friendly ones, and just depending on sort of fitness and ability.
Yeah, so some of them would be gentle climbs and others be really, like, really rugged,
yes.
Would you say?
Yes, definitely. There's a few kind of scrambles up cliff faces. Our team of young rangers go through and do really amazing track maintenance, so they're all really well signposted. We sort of try and light them up like a highway so that people don't get lost. And we also have a GPS system that we use, TrapNZ, so that logs our data and it shows you where you are.
Okay, and I presume people have to take precautions when they go up the mountain, like if they go by themselves?
Yes,
we have to let people know.
We have a sign-in policy as well, so that we know when people are on and off the mountain.
Has anyone ever got lost? Or anyone ever felt
apart from me? No.
Anyone ever felt like they were lost at one point? But
yeah, there's a few sort of stories of kind of you know, say after the cyclone in February, there was heaps of trees down, and so some of the markers kind of get you know, hidden or lost. But because of the GPS system, you know, we do. You're able to get back on track and find your way out.
That's good. That's good to know in case anyone's worried.
Some trap lines are actually really easy, like follow the roadside and check the traps every 100 metres. So, you know, there's definitely a big variety of levels. Yeah. Yeah.
And is there stuff for people to do who don't want to do any trap lines?
Yes, there's definitely always something to do. We have data heads. So some people on the trap line enter their data in straight away, but some people just aren't into the technology side of it. So they write down all their their catches, and then we send that off to someone who just sort of enters the data in. Okay. And data is a really important part of the project because it sort of maps what where I'm catching. And
so have you had a look at the data from like sort of over the last 10 years, can you see patterns and trends?
Yes, absolutely. You can see, you know, when the rat breeding seasons are, and you'll see a huge spike, and then it'll go up and down and up and down depending on the season and yeah. what's available sort of on the forest floor as opposed to in the traps.
And if you open up new trap lines in a part of the mountain where you haven't had one before, do you yeah. start off with that there's like a, you get a lot of get a lot of trapping, and then it kind of it slows down after a while? Is that how it works?
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah, you sort of wipe out you know, entire rat whānau and then they
yeah.
get on top of them. So yeah.
And does sometimes you get a spike in the population and you're like, what's going on? Are we missing out on something here, or are they getting smarter?
They also every yeah. year, you know, it's cyclical, and every yeah. year you'll be like, you think you're on top of it, and all of a sudden you're catching heaps, but it's just that time of the year where they're, you know, rat season.
Yes. Yeah.
And they're looking for food, they're out, they'll try anything, and then that's when you catch heaps. Kind of.
All right, it's actually a sign that they're a bit more desperate for food, maybe.
Mm. Yeah, and just comfort and, you know, getting ready for winter kind of thing.
It is a little bit gruesome, isn't it?
Yes.
One of the good things about doing the trapping is that with the traps that we use, they're all, you know, humane. They're all sort of accredited. So
yes.
they're definitely every trap that you get to, the creature, whatever it is in there, it will be dead. So you don't have to deal with kind of killing anything.
Oh, well, yeah. No, so, didn't even occur to me that that would be a possibility. You like have well, to finish it off or something.
Lots of volunteers do ask that, and sort of what do you do with the rat once you know, pull it out of the trap?
What do you do with the rat once you get it out of the trap?
Do you deposit it in the bush just to add to the, you know, natural
Yeah, because that's
fertilizer.
What would normally happen when an animal dies.
Yeah,
it just returns to the soil, basically.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, all right.
Yeah. But in some other volunteer opportunities,
yes.
Nick, who's our seabird ranger, she runs pretty much from now until Christmas a burrow buddies. And so someone will be assigned to an oi burrow,
yeah.
and they will help with the monitoring. They'll look at all the... We set up cameras, so they'll look at the data, and they will just check all the traps around that area. And often it's along the coast. Well, it's always along the coast. And so we try and do an intensive regime over that time, just so that they're super protected.
I'm visualising someone sleeping in a sleeping bag on
that's how I visualise it too.
Floor, with a shotgun ready for when the stoats come.
That is, yes.
It would be ideal, wouldn't it?
Yes. Yeah, yeah. Yep.
Although the birds might like keep away, actually.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's,
no, it's not quite that vigilant, but
yeah.
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 yeah. But there's lots of opportunities for that.
So you've
kind
got
of.
So you've got cameras, but do they connect it to anything, or do you have to go and check the cameras and like
we have
data?
To check them. So okay. yeah, they've just got an SD card and batteries, so we just go and swap them in and out.
Yeah,
and
so it is hard, I know, because you talked last year that there was a problem with, was it stoats came in?
Ferrets
came in, yeah. and cleaned out a few, yeah.
Yeah.
And that's, you just find out after the fact, I guess.
Yeah, yeah.
Was there
really
anything
hard.
You could do at that point? Did you think, okay, we've got ferrets, we need to do something to stop them getting the rest, or...?
We tried hard.
Yeah, yeah. We just upped the trap checks, and we do. We have sort of bigger traps set up, because you don't want the traps too close to the burrows, because then you're sort of attracting. You know, they've got that animal scent, and you're attracting it in close to the burrows.
Oh yeah, yeah.
So we sort of have them well back, and just you know, try and keep them regularly checked.
I wonder if there's a scent that can disguise the scent of the birds.
Interesting. Yeah. Something not to put the birds off, but to put the animals.
But the animals won't like it. Yeah.
Yeah.
Maybe the scent of a dangerous, bigger animal, like a dog or something.
Yeah.
I don't know. Mind you, they probably worked that out pretty quickly. this is not my area of expertise.
No,
I
but this is
good.
You
good
know,
brainstorming.
Yeah, yeah, that's right.
It's great
yeah.
to have
yeah, yeah.
that, you know, ingenuity. That's
yeah.
You know, how we've got this far, really. So yeah, there's lots of things. We always need help with things like funding applications and marketing, graphic design. We have regular trap
tunnel building workshops.
Right, so you can just help with that, like construction tracks.
Yeah, come along. We often have the Raglan Ramblers and groups like that come along and help
us. We'll have one. We can tell you before the next one probably, but in about a month we'll be hosting the next Working Bee. And it's just one morning.
Yeah.
And in two or three hours we knock out maybe 60 new wooden tunnels to go out there. So
the tunnel's an important part of the trapping scenario.
Yes, definitely. These tunnels I'm talking about are for the Victor trap, for the rat traps.
Yeah.
Kind of like what you would have in your own garden, Aaron.
Yes, yeah. Have we talked about all the volunteer roles, or should we talk about
Yeah, no, that's pretty much it. We are also, we've just started doing baiting, so we've cut a whole lot of bait lines, and so instead of actually trapping, we're just putting bait into bait stations and then detoxing it and then putting back in, so that's sort of targeting rats and possums up on the mountain. So yeah. We do about three deploys a year, so that's something also that's just like a beautiful bushwalk basically on a private track.
Oh, right.
Am I selling it?
Sound like a tourist
totally.
Event.
Totally.
Could you do ecotourism, invite people?
We get quite a few school groups or corporates wanting to come in and sort of help us
get the corporate crowd down from Auckland and give them a real rough experience. Yeah. Isn't that this kind of team building exercise
exactly.
they look for in
exactly.
the corporate sector?
Yes, that would be very engaging. Yeah, no, that's pretty much it from me, but we're so appreciative. We just saw Manu out there and heading off down to yoga, and we have some really incredible volunteers that, you know, old, young. Just
so this is Manu, who works at the Environment Centre, but he also volunteers.
No,
different Manu.
Manuela.
Oh, okay.
She's absolutely amazing, and these volunteers, they stay in contact, they check their traps, they, you know, they communicate what they're catching. They're really just... We're just so lucky to have them. So,
and do you have like social gatherings occasionally as well?
Yes, we just had a really great eel night the other night. We had a specialist, Don Jellyman.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah, Skype in from, or Zoom in from Christchurch. So, again, just in Whangaroa, we have so many incredibly knowledgeable people. So we'll often get, you know, freshwater ecologists and geologists and people just come in and share their you know, their heads.
Yeah, cool.
So yeah, that's fun.
So Isabel, should we talk about the poor performance of our trapping at our place? What might we be doing wrong? Because we have a trap from you guys. We have caught things occasionally, but we don't feel like we're doing very well. Are the rats just too smart for us?
Well, there could be a few things going on.
Because you haven't been there, so you don't quite know what we're doing.
Yeah,
doing
so wrong, I guess my first question, and I have no idea what the answer will be, so don't be offended, but like your trap does need to be baited and set.
Well, see, this is where we get into trouble because I'm not the one doing it, so I don't know.
Okay, well, I mean, that would obviously be the first thing to check, and so obviously if it's not baited, and even more so if it's not set, you're obviously not going to catch anything
yes,
in there.
Yes.
And the bait, even though you might bait it, or, I mean, Karen might bait it,
yeah.
the ants could come overnight. Ants, slugs, there's a few things that are quite into peanut butter as much as rats are. Mm. And they could come and clear it out, and you think it's still set, and you'll just check it 2 weeks later, and, you still haven't caught anything, but...
So I think the rat was really clever to get the peanut butter off the trap, but it was the ants.
Yes. There's a very slim chance that a rat would actually come because the rat would get killed. So
what about
it could
if it's a mouse?
Yeah, a mouse could get away, but we often do catch mice in those traps as well.
Just because a mouse is so much lighter, it might
not trigger
the trap?
No, it could definitely get away with it, but equally it could get caught in it. So.
Yeah. Well, what about if there's another better food source nearby? Is that going to like detract from the trap as well?
For rats, yeah. So there's like compost area is a funny area because you can have really good success rate, but also they could just choose to keep eating the compost rather than. So you kind of have to, I don't know, I find with my compost bin, I just try to move the trap around a little bit. You know, if it's not catching and I know there's, you can see there's a little tunnel made, you know there's a rat, you're not catching it, so I'll just try moving the trap, like maybe right at the tunnel entrance.
Well, that's what I was going to ask you. Can you put the trap right in the way?
Yeah, you can. You can try in the tunnel. Still, you know, definitely keep it in the tunnel.
Okay.
The tunnel, yeah, you were asking before, definitely yeah. serves a few purposes. One of them is the rat will go in and enter it face on. So it's not just going to get a leg caught. It's actually going to be a quick, clean kill.
Yes, yeah.
But also it keeps the pets and the children safe. And
my children are older now, so no.
Yeah, and they're probably not going anywhere near the rat trap, to be honest.
No, not anymore. Not anymore. There's no danger of that anymore. Well, what about if we're so useless that we just have no success, or we can't, or we're not even there, like we have a batch, but we want some trapping done?
Well, we can actually do that.
Do you know what you just said? Like, that's from the ad. Is that the same? That's the same word you used in the ad.
It's our slogan. We can do that. We can do it all.
Yeah, yeah. If people recognize your voice, then you're one of the voices in our the ads that we have. So yeah.
So that is the ad. I guess that's one of the lines in the ad, is that we're happy. We've started this social enterprise that provides the service for you. So we mainly right now we've got a little base of clientele, and it's a range of people that sign up for the service. Some of them live in Auckland and they've got a batch here that they rent out on Book a Batch, so they're not there, but they know because of the reviews that they've got rats.
Oh really? Oh,
yeah.
Oh.
And so we can do it for them. You know, we just go weekly or fortnightly, whatever they decide they want to sign up for.
Okay.
And do it for them. Some people sign up for the service, they're home, they know they should trap because, you know,
there's rats
and the birds need us to do it. Even no evidence, just they live in New Zealand, and you know we should all be doing something about these
You're
predators.
Saying there's no house anywhere that won't have rats around it somewhere, would you say that?
In Raglan, I'd be very surprised if anyone could be sure that they have got no rats. I think if they started trapping, they would be surprised. You know, they would start catching, even if you don't see the rats. Yeah. Once you start seeing the rats in your yard, it's because you've got a lot of rats. They're getting pretty cocky.
Okay, That is the best time to catch them. So, all right, so that's a service that you guys run, basically.
Yeah. So if that sounds like something that people want to do, they should just reach out, and we can. You know, every setup is different depending on the frequency and the size of the properties. A lot of the people that sign up for this have massive properties out in the country, and they're replanting or something. So you know, every property is assessed a bit differently.
Okay.
Yeah.
And do you do it for businesses as well?
Yeah, that's definitely our, we would love to.
Okay.
So far, oh, actually there's one that might be in the, I'll fill you in later if they sign up. But that would be ideal, actually. You know, then they've ticked their box, especially like cafes and restaurants, I'm pretty sure have to do it. And if they don't, then they probably want to do it because obviously it's a problem.
Yeah, yeah. Well, you're continually producing food.
Yeah, so we can that's
okay.
That's what we want to get trapping.
And I know one of you mentioned before you got started because Jasmine, your kids were in the Karioi Kids.
Yes.
Do you just want to can we just mention that what's happening with that so people know? Can either of you guys talk about that?
Yeah, so this is, well, yeah, my kids are still kind of doing it. Jasmine's are a little bit older. This is term two now, so there's right now there's still the Karioi Kids and the Karioi Rangers group.
Yeah.
But next term, normally in the past they would just stop, take a break for term three, but the last year and this year again they'll continue on just for the older group for term three because it does get dark really early and cold, and but the older kids, they feel like they can carry on.
They can hack the pace.
Yeah.
Yeah,
so it's such a popular program. It runs on Tuesdays and Wednesdays, and pretty much as soon as most kids just roll over from one term to the next term. So it's really hard to actually get into. You can go on a waiting list, but they also run holiday programs as well. So Amber, Liam, Valerie, Annie and Anne do some pretty incredible stuff with the kids and just educating
yeah,
you know, about conservation.
This term, I was pretty impressed that the Kerio Rangers group sold out within a day. And then I was told that the younger group sold out within an hour. They just filled up all the spots for the term.
Really?
So, yeah, it's in high demand.
Mm. Wow. So you just, what did you put it out on Facebook? Open now. And
yeah, and an email goes out to anyone who has done it, you know, in that little community. And boom, just
gone.
Do you want, yeah. You should be expanding.
Oh yeah, I know. I think that we just need more funding because actually it doesn't cost families that much to sign their kids up. And so we just need to apply for more funding, I guess, to take that, you know, or else it would cost a lot more to run.
Yeah. And I know you've got some of your staff of people who were at school here. Had they done... Or that they'd done stuff up at the area school, like because you've got something happening at the area school as well.
Yeah, both. You? Some of them came up through these, you know, started as little mini Kerio Rangers and Kerio kids, but also did the program, the Manakiao program through school.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then we've got, three.
So that,
of
is
them.
That an NCEA class?
It changes every
the senior,
year.
Senior students?
Yes, senior students, but they also work with the Ropu and they come in through the junior school and have, what do you call it, sort of segments or...
Yeah, sometimes our education team will go in just for a one-off presentation on a certain species or something. But last term they did a lot of work with the Ropu kind of on a regular basis and the Manakeao program isn't running... this year, as far as I know, but that was for the senior, older.
But the Matua Liam, who runs the outdoor education program, so he's doing some really amazing work. And Matua Tafaifa, he's been incredible as well in helping us sort of roll, you know, classes out.
Cool. So there's lots. Yeah, so it's just interesting that you've had kids come through and now they're doing some work for you guys like rangers.
Yeah.
Actual rangers. Kid rangers.
Clearing tracks and baiting and just doing all sorts of really incredible fulfilling work, so they say.
And were you guys stoked about the fundraiser that happened? I know this is kind of Crystal's territory.
No, we were all excited.
Have you got some stats there, Jasmine?
Excellent.
I know it exceeded what you were looking to get, didn't it?
Yeah, just. And Jasmine was actually, with Crystal, but Jasmine did the grunt work of getting that going in her first few weeks of being employed.
Yeah.
Right.
I've never done anything like that before, and apart from having a really incredible network of friends and family who, you know, help support, it was a pretty sort of interesting, eye-opening experience. We ended up raising $21,000, which our sort of super extravagant goal was 20, and we didn't really think we'd make it, but we thought, oh, we'll put it out there, just manifest it, and we got above that.
Yeah, if you don't ask, you don't get.
100%, and I definitely asked, and I'm super appreciative of all the people that I hassled over that time. We had what they call match funders.
Yes.
So we had Orca, Raglan Food Co, Protec Plumbing, Raglan Chocolate, Loan Market, and Wainui Environmental. So they came up with about $500 each, and every dollar that someone donated, they matched it with another dollar. So, you know, their $500 became $1,000, which is a huge, huge amount for us. Yeah. So it was pretty exciting. And then we had a whole lot of other local businesses like Evolve Flooring and Construction, Mamona Farms, Raglan Airbnb Cleaners, Tiny Home Escapes, Yana from Ray White, Future Farms, Eversol Sunscreen, Hairbox, Karioi Nursery, and Ho Botanicals.
Right.
So they all just, as businesses, just came to the party and donated some really, really generous amounts to, help us help the birds.
Well, that was a great success. And now everyone's jobs are secure. And
for now.
But we're also doing really cool things with that money. Like there's an amazing predator control group in Franklin, and they've devised this incredible ferret trap, which is like a live cage trap, but it once something goes into it, it sends you a message via satellite, and then you can go and check it. So
right, and that was the ferrets that were a problem last season.
It's the ferrets that are a problem, and yeah. they reckon that it sort of ups the catch rate by 60% or something quite phenomenal. So we're able to use that money to do things that, you know, hopefully are really going to help the oi population this year.
Yeah.
It's exciting.
Yeah, and does everyone know what they're doing while Crystal's away?
I think she's listening.
She might be listening.
Heaps of work. Mahi,
you're working very hard.
Yes.
Yeah, cool. All right, is there anything else you wanted to let people know, or is that's the full story this morning?
Yeah, that's the full story. I'll let you know when the next working bee is, when we've set the date.
And we'll put it on there. We have a really serious What's On guide now that we've got Maki doing stuff for us as well. So
that's fantastic.
Make it, comprehensive. Although I don't think we got the Karioi kids in it. Although you might not want that. You might.
No, I don't think we need that right now.
Yeah, too many. No,
but yeah, if you want to volunteer, just get in touch with me on Facebook or Instagram or through the website. And there's just always something, you know. We definitely accept baking on Wednesdays, which is our team lunch day.
I see, right.
There's, lots of fun to be had. It's an awesome group of
So that's Jasmine, who you contact for that, and Isabel, we're contacting you if we need help with trapping in their backyard.
Yeah, or if you're not trapping yet, get in touch.
Okay, cool. Thanks for coming in, guys.
No, thanks, Aaron.